So what we're going to do is, the presentation style is going to seem a little awkward, but it's something we found highly advantageous when we do live presentations with media. You're going to hear me say next, and it's going to be for almost no reason. But once you have the audio and the copy, because nobody really wants to look at me on video, right? You just want the content and the presentation, and it's just a really streamlined way of archiving stuff up, and it'll make sense. But welcome to our Launch and Learn Labs Startup Accelerator. Let's just go ahead and get started. Next, I want to thank these people for making this possible. Innovate Alabama has been so gracious to allow us through ACE Labs to be a part of their tax credit program. And Once ACE Technologies and Mr. Eric Sloan, this is his facility, his company, he and I partner on a whole lot of things. But we want to thank them for making all of this possible. It's just great stuff. Great to have some good partners. Next. This, the science we learned here, is a part of some stuff that I began kicking the tires on about 14 years ago. And we'll get more into this when we get into this area around storytelling. But the science is heavily built on something comparable to the Boulder thesis from Bradfeld, this guy and his team. You're probably familiar with Techstars, Startup Weekend. All of that stuff began in Boulder, Colorado, a city which is not too unlike Montgomery, right? And just some very good science behind what we do, and very good science. We began reading about it, studying it about 14 years ago. I don't take anyone's word for anything. So we spent about 5.5, 6 years testing this stuff out, and it's legit. Everything we do in the community building, and I'm just speaking for our small team with the IE5 Cyber Quarter, everything we do is based on the science that we validated on our own. Next. So what was the experiment? Well, for a little over 11 years, as we were looking to build a tech startup community here, what was paramount was for us to have an accelerator and some business development training. And it really came out of the fact that 24 years ago, I was looking to go full-time into this little effort that I had begun, and I went to everybody's training. Everything the SBA offered, everything the Minority Business Development Center offered, everything the Montgomery Area Chamber of Commerce offered. And there was some stuff that they were telling me, and I was ignorant of business. Like my family, they're just, especially on my little sister married into some entrepreneurs, but my family proper, no entrepreneurs. My mom was like, you go to school, you work really hard, you get good grades, and you get a safe job. Now, my mom passed away in 03. She never, if she could even know that the federal government's laying people off, my mom would, I mean, that just was not a part of, I mean, and my family bought into this. My oldest sister, 31 years civil servant with the state of Alabama. Middle sister, 25 years civil servant with the DOD. Baby sister just made her 21st year. She's a radiation physicist in the state of Texas. Now, mama had one black sheep in the family, right? Because I'm still trying to figure out some stuff. Because I was wondering, why did my oldest sister graduate with honors? And it was a year and some odd before she could get a job. And there were some guys in my little small hometown who couldn't have read, and they had all the money in the bank. Something just wasn't adding up. And my mom and my dad tried to tell me, but he was an entrepreneur, he had hustles, but it culminated in my launching a company. But I was ignorant about business, right? I had done the whole, my first job, I was a research engineer for a university, then I went to corporate. I was a network engineer, network admin, and start a company. But I did go to these trainings, and I can read. And some of the stuff they were telling me just made no sense. Something that still doesn't make sense almost 25 years later is a set of financials that you do for a business plan for a company for which you have no customers. So I'm trying to figure out, where do those numbers come from? And I still remember sitting in the class, and the guy was saying, I need you guys to do financial projections. And I said, okay, what do you mean? Well, I need 1 year, 3 year, 5 year projections. I said, okay, that sounds great. I said, well, what if we don't have any customers? He says, I need you to do 1 year, 3 year, 5 year projections. And I said, sir, what little formal education I have is in applied mathematics, and I paid attention in the discrete courses. To make projections off of stuff you make up, that's bad folk. Yeah. And he said, Mr. Stevens, we're trying to be facetious. I said, no, that just makes no sense. Today, it still makes no sense. And so this began our looking at who was doing this the best at the time. 14, 15 years ago, I was working in Silicon Valley a lot. So I was watching that ecosystem, what was going on there, and started, experimenting with some stuff. Again, I'll get into my story here shortly. But it culminated in doing these classes. If you look very closely in this middle picture and look at that smiling face there, you will recognize that individual. But to date, we've run 500 founders plus through our training over the last 11 years. We'll put it up against anything happening as a plan. Anything. We are a little different than some of the more popular methods, but we'll get into the why here shortly.
Well, I'm in another one of these.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just glad
it's all good. That's all good. Most people do. How we got started, some of the things that jumped out at us. This young man was a student at Tuskegee, and he called me out. I was up there talking about what we were thinking about doing, and he says, hey, I got this idea. He called me up after we had the conference up there, and this is back in, 2012, 2013, and he said, will you train me? And I put me on with something. I said, you come to Montgomery, I'll do anything you need me to do. Well, this kid jumped in, learned the stuff. That Christmas break, he called me. And he said, I don't know, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I said, what's going on? He says, this tech accelerator in Silicon Valley wants me to come out because he had this web portal that helped college students navigate a college town. So if you come in town, where do I get my dry cleaning done? Where are the rest? I mean, it was just really innovative. And he says, I don't know what to do. What should I do? I said, I don't know. I'm doing what I want to do. What do you want to do? And I said, well, when do you graduate? I mean, I'm not Jesus, so I'm not going to tell any of you what to do. You need some definitives, you try him. I'm just here to give you some options, right? Some things for you to consider. And so I asked him, I said, when do you graduate? He said, I graduate in August. I said, how do you feel about staying on, finish graduation? He said, well, my parents want to. I said, I got that. I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you stay on and keep building it? If they want you now, they'll really want you 8 months later. Shucks. He graduated on one day, took the next flight out. He's crushing it right now, probably only his third or fourth startup. Just, he went through, not Techstars, but what's the one based out of San Francisco that's real popular? The name slips me now, but he was part of
it.
Yes, it, Y Combinator. He ended up going through Y Combinator. The thing though that sold me on this method are represented in the bottom photo and the photo to the right. The bottom photo, we had done one cohort, and one of the guys in the cohort, that was his brother-in-law. And they were getting ready for a pitch competition, which by the way, I can't stand business pitch competitions. except for one reason. There's only one reason to do it, right? And that's to tell your story. Mm-hmm. And I'll get into the math here in a moment, so bear with me. I'm known for making statements and coming back on the back end. Yeah. So y'all bear with me. And I'm also known for offending people. So I'm telling you on the front side, please forgive me before I say some things, right? But these guys, the brother-in-law put me in touch with them, and they were going to do a business pitch competition in a week. And they were going up against some other students who had been practicing for months. And I said, let me teach you this stuff. So we gave them two or three sessions over the course of that 2 or 3 days, and they should have won first place. But the judges were very biased, everybody in the room said it, but they came over with a check. I said, huh? So you went up against folk who were doing things traditionally. They had 6 months, you had 3 days. Mm-hmm. I like this. But my favorite story is this group in the middle. Auburn University has this thing called Tiger Cage, and some pretty substantial prize money. I get a call, Auburn was launching their new venture accelerator, which exists now. Mm-hmm. And they were getting ready to launch it, and some of the directors knew me. and asked I come up there and help them. So I came up and I did 2 weeks of customer discovery, customer development. That doesn't mean much to you now. It'll mean a whole lot to you by the time we finish this cohort. The first session, these guys, they had just participated in the preceding Tiger Cage and bombed. They were getting ready to disband their company. And they're all engineers, far left brains. And so I come in and they were almost forced to sit in on this session. And the first day, they're heckling me. How do you know this stuff works? I mean, they were just seriously negative. And so much so that the New Venture Accelerator people forced them to apologize to me. They said, you know, this guy's coming up trying to help us. I said, oh, that's good. And they said, are you sure? I said, yeah. I said, these engineers, right? They said, yeah. I said, give them 2 days. I said, light bulb's gonna come on and they're gonna see the math in what we're doing. Second day, they're heckling me. Third day, I remember it. Their eyes lit up. I mean, almost in mass. And I said, y'all get it now, right? That year we worked with them, the next Tiger Cage, it was both the statewide and the regional was held in Auburn. They were so far ahead of all the competitors, they just gave them all the money. They said, you guys just take all the money. A year and a half ago, I'm reading, they launched a business in Auburn, built in Auburn. You all know how those significant others are. They pull at your heartstrings. One of the fiancés wanted to go back to Atlanta, so they moved the business to Atlanta. A year and a half ago, I'm reading one of my news blurbs, and they had just sold the company. I sent an email saying, congratulations, this is great. One of the founders, Ben, the redhead here, hit me back and says, no, Boyd, you believed in us from the beginning. You told us this is how this works. I hit up Sloan and I said, the region doesn't realize they just got another 10 years out of me to know that it works at scale. Mm-hmm. Next. So let's get into it. First thing I want to ask you all to do is stop believing the hype. As big of a fan as I am of Inc. Magazine, Fast Company Magazine, Fortune and Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, Wired Magazine, much as I love reading those, don't believe the hype. Don't even listen to Mr. Zuckerberg, who wants to tell you that young people are smart. And then Mr. Graham talks about investors after 32, they cut off. Now let me tell you what's happening. The reason investors like that age is because they are foolish and they will give away the bank. Same way they want young fighter pilots. See, if I get in an F-35 and I'm seeing all this commotion going on, they say, I'm saying, look, bro, is there another way, right? Is there another way? Like, there is no gusto here, right? Like, this makes no sense. But the Wharton School of Business did about a 8-year study, and here are the facts. The mean average age of entrepreneurs in this country is 41.9 years old. And the mean age founder of one in every 1,000 high growth potential companies is 45 years old. There's a reason for that. You have to live a little bit, see some things, right? And again, I'm not mad at these other folk. They have their reason for looking and wanting to live life the way they want to live it. But the reality is, in this country, the data doesn't add up. And so what I have to tell founders oftentimes, well, I'm a little too old. No, you're not. You're just like a, what do you call it, like a vintage wine. You're just right. The second thing I want to ask that you all embrace, we believe all companies are tech companies. I don't care what you're doing. If tech is not at the core of what you're doing, and see, the problem is when we think of technology, we're thinking of something digital,
yeah.
Right? The oldest technology on the planet, you embrace with every day. Food. It gets no better than food tech.
Yep.
Right? And so what I tell folk who even have businesses that they may not think is tech or should be tech oriented, lawn services. I know a number of guys that run lawn services. I tell them all the time that they are very fortunate that they're only 24 hours in a day and only 7 days in a week, because if I had more time, I have all the lawns in the city of Montgomery. It's just so many ways to make that efficient that most lawn services don't even think about. First of all, I'm not driving around town to see if your lawn needs cutting. Because if you trust me enough to cut your lawn, you trust me enough to give me a snapshot from your video surveillance camera. So I'm getting that data in to see where the grass is, to see if the hedges need trimming. I mean, if you trust me enough to be in your backyard when you're not there, you trust me enough to send me a snapshot of your lawn. All right, that's the first thing. So if I'm not driving all over town, then I'm saving on gas. All right, saving on petrol. And then paying, I'm not chasing you down in 2025 to pay me my money. Actually, I'm going to incentivize we get on the plan, right? I mean, it's just, those are just basic things. I won't even get into the actual lawn technology, but just a lot of ways. The people that I have had the privilege of working a lot with over the last 6 years are artists. And I tell artists the adage of starving artists, that concept, that just shouldn't be. When you make something, when you can do something, you should never go hungry. When you have that kind of ability. Now, if you're just buying from vendor A, reselling, you're kind of at somebody's mercy. But when you can take raw materials, whatever they are, and you can make something, and it's amazing how there's very little difference in the problems that artists have entrepreneurially and the problems that software developers have entrepreneurially. So far left brains have the same, far left brain and far right brains have the same problem. They so in love with what they do, they forget they gotta sell something. Mm-hmm. And if you don't sell it, people don't pay.
That's right.
And if people don't pay, you can't pay your mortgage, right? Yeah, it's just bad food. Again, it's just, it's amazing when you take a step back, everybody's dealing with the same issue, right? Next. The other thing we teach, we are big advocates of permissionless entrepreneurship. I first ran across this concept back in 2018. The people were talking about venture capitalists, and they were saying, why should venture capitalists be the ones who determine who are the winners on the backside of things? Well, we took that concept and expanded it. We say, why should chambers of commerce also be the ones who determine the winners on the backside? Why should economic development people be the ones who determine the winners on the backside? Why should, now we're getting back to it, business pitch competition judges who've never owned a business in their whole life be the one who determines the winners on the backside? That's ludicrous. And you all know the Frederick Douglass quote, power seeds nothing without demand. So as entrepreneurs, we're gonna learn, we don't wait on nobody. Now, it's gonna put you in some interesting, unique positions with people in power. That's okay, as long as you have some customers that pay your mortgage, you really don't care about them, right? You really, they're there, they have their reason for existing. You will engage with them accordingly. But at the end of the day, you're not asking for permission, including this accelerator. You don't let a business accelerator determine whether you're successful or not. No. You should be only concerned about one thing, and that's cash paying, credit card swiping, cryptocurrency transferring, check writing customers. Beyond that, to be transparent, I could care less about anybody else knowing what I do. Ask him. I could care less, because everybody else is bringing noise to the table. Now I'm like, why are you asking me all about my business if you don't want to buy my stuff? I'm really curious now. I'm really curious, because I'm just trying to figure it out, right? I'm trying to figure it out. And he's sitting up there smiling, but he's notorious for filtering folk. I tell him all the time, I says, dude, no, people don't know you wouldn't listen to anything they were saying. He's like, nope. Okay, cool. Because you gotta, we only have so much time on this planet. And we gotta get to where we're trying to be very quickly. And then the final thing that I want to mention here is we're going to spend a lot of time talking about money machines. Right? Money machines are really crucial. It's just one of those things where, give me 1 second, I want to make sure I'm tracking what I need to be tracking. There we go. Money machines are very crucial to what we're going to be discussing here. So what is a money machine? A money machine is a very small, nimble, tech-based business. you're not really looking for more than 3 team members, right? Am I saying that's your permanent goal? No. I'm saying every company of size in this planet, unless you bought a franchise, started out as a money machine. I'll pick on my industry, right? Bill Gates, Paul Allen, Microsoft, right? Google Twins, Google, all right? Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, Apple. Hewlett and Packard, that's where the name came from, boom, all right? You wanna focus on, because if you get the money machine right, it allows you to have the foundational elements where you now can go where you wanna go. You get the money machine wrong, you're gonna be struggling big time. And that is, you know, ultimately where we're gonna spend a lot of time over the next number of weeks looking at the money machine science. So I wanna jump here next, changing gears, and talk about the 3 people inside your money machine that you've got to develop, you've got to grow, you've got to learn to allow to mature, all right? And even if you are a solo practitioner, you've got to feed all 3. Because if you don't feed all 3, well, I'll put it this way. We crack this nut. Next, we crack this nut. We have figured out why failure rates are what they are among businesses. We cracked them. So if you look at the diagram here, first year failure rate of businesses in Alabama is around 20%, but the 10-year failure rate of businesses is about a little over 60%. And we believe we figured this out. This is numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that was before current administration had a chance to delete them all. All right, so we've cracked this nut. We've cracked this nut. Next, where we crack the nut is around these 3 individuals. The visionary leader, the technician, and the manager, right? So let's start with the technician. The technician is the individual, she is into whatever it is you're doing in a product and service offering. Whatever that is, all right? In your case, it's offering a transition facility that for women who've been incarcerated. That's that technician, all right? The reason for the high failure rates, our data shows, is that most entrepreneurs only want to do technician work. Whatever it is they're doing, that's all they want to do. And that's seriously important. I mean, you want to bring your best game, your A game, your skill sets, but if that's all you focus on, back. You're going to end up in this statistical area. So next, so what do you need to do? Well, there are 2 other individuals. Somehow, some way, you got to learn how to grow, mature, develop. The first is the visionary leader. That's the person that wants to change the world. Or maybe you want to change their neighborhood. Or they just want to do something wherever they are to make people's lives better, whatever that is. This is the person that's scheming and dreaming. And not just about whatever it is that you do, but they are very interested in where their offerings fit into the great world, right? We spend a lot of time helping you develop your visionary and leadership skills. Anybody, before I go to the next slide, anyone want to guess how we do that? We help you understand, nobody cares about your stuff. Next. People don't care about your products. People don't care about your service offerings. All people care about are their problems. And that's okay. And let's just go ahead and put it out there. We family now, because I don't know most of you. We family. Everything that happens in business is personal.
Yeah.
You and I as entrepreneurs just have to learn not to take it too personally. Mm. When you don't get the contract, they didn't want your stuff.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. They just might not be your customer.
That's right.
And there's, you know what's worse than not having any customers? Is having somebody that's a customer that is really not your customer.
Yep.
If there's a difference in the experience when my phone rings and I don't, I praise God, this doesn't happen too often now. Because remember I said the filters?
Yeah.
There we go. I am notorious for graduating a customer who's not a good fit, graduating them to another service provider. I am just, I'm an expert at it.
Yes.
All right, I'm an expert at it. There, but early on, there's nothing like your phone ringing and you see the number and your stomach will hurt. But you got an answer, right? Versus people that you, two of you, the founders, the CEOs, the staff, you all are so in sync. That you would be helping them for free. But you ain't gonna help them for free.
Yeah.
I said you would.
Yes.
No, they're gonna get an invoice just like everybody else. Right? But that's a great experience, right? When you just really are enjoying the process. I mean, you're sitting there working. Actually, you're not even working anymore.
Mm.
I learned from my mother, that's what retirement really is. It's when you get up every day and you get to pretty much do what you want to do. Because of that, we're going to become problem-centric, not product or service-centric. We're going to fall in love with our problems and other people's problems, not our solutions. Next. So what do we do with the visionary leader? Well, we're going to touch this lightly. But those of you who hang around for the second 13-week cohort, we get into the belly of this beast. We work on that gray matter between your ears. What folk don't tell you is the high rate of depression among founders, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs. This is a lonely road.
Yeah.
And the way that you handle that is you find another someone, you can just look at each other. Some there sometimes, I don't even say it to eat. I just look at him, he's like,
yeah.
Or he'll call me at the right time, because he knows, because we know. We know. I'll hit him up, I say, man, what's up? Man, blah, blah, blah. It's nobody lives this life like us on the planet. And our educational systems do not prepare us for what we experience on this side. We send young people to school for almost 2 decades and we never teach them how money works. Think through that for a minute. Now, if you're a conspiracy theorist, like some say I am, you should by design. And that's just on money. You start talking about business? What do you have to learn in business? You gotta learn how to fail. When do you learn how to fail? We're taught to avoid failure, right? Final thing, we're taught in academia, you keep working hard until you get it perfected. Business, 90% of the time, you don't have all the information you need, and you gotta make a decision. So what do? You do, as my mother told me, you do the best you can with what you have for as long as you can, and you get comfortable with that, right? And then you do some stuff on the front end to prepare you for the back end. But we will hit this lightly. We get into some personality profile types, some core energy types, mavens, relators, evangelists. This stuff is gold. Mm-hmm. It is, because what this does for you, it allows you to know how to build a team. Because even as a money machine founder, you've got to have a team. As an older colleague in his late 80s told me 25 years ago when he first met me, don't forget you're not in this world by yourself. And that's what we entrepreneurs forget oftentimes. We believe the Hollywood story that I've got to pull myself up by my own bootstraps to do this thing. Well, that Supreme Court justice who used that term, I'm walking in a bookstore one day and I see this book and his picture's on the front of it. I was like, huh. Well, it was written by two Europeans who in the late 60s, early 70s, combed the country in the Southeast United States to find young black folk with potential and help fund them through college. And so Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was funded through college by some Europeans. So maybe his understanding of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is different from mine, all right? We all need help, right? And what this allows you to do is to understand how to build a team. I'll just give you a quick overview. Maintenance are people who are really into the science of whatever they're doing. Relators are people that want to make sure everyone's good. Evangelists are folk who try to convince you. All right? And the science simply says two of these three dominate and they project the third. Some colleagues of mine in Austin developed this about almost 20 years ago. This stuff saved my bacon and changed my life. To be succinct, I've been a maven since I was 3 years old. Whatever I'm into, I am into. Ask my nephew. The joke among my nephews used to be, every Christmas, their Christmas gift was going to be a book and a book. All right? I mean, that's just because I was into what I was into, right? What changed in my life here was going into this, the first time I did the study, I thought I was an evangelist, but I never understood why I never felt comfortable speaking in front of people. Like, when we finish up here, I'm going to have to go home and take a nap. Right? I am an introvert. I do this because you can't practice being introverted and make money. So I got to do what I got to do, right? But what's fascinating is I'm a relator. I just want to make sure everyone's good. Now, what happens when people meet me, they think I'm trying to convince them of something. And so I'm sitting there, he's laughing. I'm sitting there, because the maven, I'm oversharing. The relator, I want to make sure you're good. And then they're like, well, you haven't convinced me. Oh, I wasn't trying to convince you, I was just sharing, right? And the funniest things happen, but there are certain deals that I need a convincer. I now know when those opportunities present themselves, I got to get somebody to help me. Because I'm just not that guy. I tell folks, I meet someone, they say, hey, I'm jumping off this building, head first into that concrete downstairs. I'm going to do the Newtonian math. Bro, when you hit the pavement, it ain't going to be good. And I'm going to talk about the physiological problems you're going to have, because the maven in me kicks in. But if you still say, doggone it, I'm adamant, I'm going to jump, the relator kicks in. How can I help you? What, you know, do you want to jump? I mean, that's just who I am. That's who I am. Because like I told you earlier, I'm not Jesus. I'm not your commission. I'm going to give you all the data, and I'll make sure you're good. Well, some deals require an evangelist. I have to get help when those deals present themselves. What we help the visionary leaders with most fully is, you said earlier, storytelling. Because entrepreneurs historically are hard storytellers. The storytelling ability is a thing. Now, I'm going to be prophetic twice. I'm going to say it now, and I'm going to say it when I show you a list of a copy of the syllabus here in a few moments. We start out doing a lot of this, and if I'm prophetic, some of you are going to trivialize it. You're going, and I'm going to overemphasize, don't trivialize this part. And you're going to blow me off. And then around week 5, we're going to need you to have perfected that storytelling for something very specific. And you will have not done the exercises. And then you're going to have panic. And I'm going to go, but storytelling is powerful. The story of how this training started. I love the Northwestern U.S. The old Portland before they made hard drugs legal. That was my spot. My wife, on her first visit there, she met a few folk. She said, you just like these people. You just don't smoke cannabis and you have a high and tight haircut. Outside of that, you just like these people. And I'm generalizing, but it's just that way of approaching life. Well, on her third trip, 2012, we're at our favorite restaurant, and I asked the question, can we move? Because by this time, she knew the transit system, and she said, we'll think about it. And when my other half says, we'll think about it, I know I'm real close. But then, the waitress comes, because my wife had only been to Portland between June and August. She asked the waitress, she says, hey, what's the weather like between October and April? Well, I wanted to say three phrases that just blew off my deal. She says, cold, rains all the time, sun never shines. And my wife looks at me and says, it ain't happening, boss. For the rest of the trip, she kept asking me, won't you bring some of that back to Alabama? I had never thought about doing that. This training that you, this accelerator that you're experiencing now is fruit of that. Why this method? I'll get into that maybe today, maybe another time, but I had a banking experience year three of the business that I left out of there talking with that banker 38 pistol hot angry. And I knew there had to be another way. And the other way is stuff we're going through now. But the most important person, next, the most important person that you've got to develop, I'm going to spend more time talking about him, is the manager. This is why most businesses fail. Nobody wants to do the management job. Now, this business method I'm teaching now saved me, because it takes the managerial process and makes it a data science problem. So now it's feeding my left brain. When that happened, I was like, bring it on. But when it was that oosie goosey, I remember a reporter asked me one time, he said, so you teach companies not to, you know, jump in with both feet. I said, no. I believe in jumping in both feet. But I won't have, no, that's not what he asked me. He says, you teach people not to start a business on a wing and a prayer. That's what he asked me. And I said, no, I believe in praying. I just want to have some data I can pray over to see what it's telling me, right? So this method helps the managerial process next become a data science problem. And what we focus on is customer discovery. Who are they, right? Then we work to develop them. And then along the process, we track the experiences. Because our users and our customers are all that matter to us. Who are they? How do we develop them? And what are their experiences? And we define customers and users totally differently, right? A user is the individual or organization whose problem you're solving, right? The customer is the entity paying you to solve the user's problem. Sometimes they're synonymous, but some of the wealthiest businesses on the planet, they're not. I'll give you, in the interest of time, examples. When we do Google search, we are not Google's customer, we're their user. The customer buys the ads. That's in the virtual space, right? We say that about Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're just the users. In the real world, I won't use that because very few people read the Montgomery Advertiser. But the magazine ad purchasers, they're the customers. But you gotta have the users there in order to, but then there are certain businesses where the user and customer are synonymous, people who have a problem paying you solve it, right? So we spend an inordinate amount of time going through there. And then in this process of the manager, one of the things you will hear me say until I am exhausted is the IRS is your best friend on the planet. Oh, they're your best friend. Because they make the rules. And then they're silly enough to put them in a publication that you can download for free. Can y'all imagine that? See, some people have this thing about capitalism. I'm asking, what other system publishes the rules for everybody to download and read? What other system? You know, it just blows me away. And then I like your story, sis. You said you were doing it on the side. See, come March, I start getting the calls. Hey, brother boy, oh no, how can we do some stuff? No, Doc, you should have hit me up last April 16th. I said, the way you work this thing is you learn the rules, and then it's a beast. Plus, you always want to stay on the good side of these folks. They're slow, but they are sure. Well, as we say back home, they're show. I remember, I was year five in the business, and I had underpaid the Alabama Department of Revenue. And it was like $30-something, and they sent me a bill, and I sent it in. And you know, around that time, things were getting better. Because initially, you know, people say rob Peter, pay Paul. I was robbing Peter, Paul, and John, the whole apostles, just to keep things flowing, you know? And it's okay. But things were a little better here. But I was still, I was still checking the numbers, right? And so the state sent me another notice in, and it was so close. I said, oh, they just made a little mistake. It's the same thing. Blew it off. So one morning, I'm driving to Birmingham. I still remember it. And I had checked my account, and it was a deficit. And so I'm calling the bank on the way to Birmingham, and I say, hey, you guys took money out of my account. Can you tell me for what? And the teller was typing. He said, Mr. Stevens, I can't. I said, I need to talk to your manager. So the manager gets on. The manager can't even tell me. Now I'm hot. And you can ask, yeah, I have a nickname. They call me Top Rope Stevens. It's an analogy to wrestling, coming off top rope. Y'all, I'm just saying, that's the way I am in my flesh. And my nephew can tell me, I'll tell you, all his life I've been this way, right? So I'm laying into him. I said, what kind of Mickey Mouse bank y'all running? People taking stuff out of me. I mean, I'm hot, because nobody can tell me. I tell you what, when I get back to Montgomery, we're going to handle this. I just happened to stop off at the post office before I went to the bank. There was a nice letter drafted from the Alabama Department of Revenue letting me know, because I didn't submit the funds, they reached in the bank and took them. I ended up going to the bank, telling them who took the money. You want to stay on the right side of these, dear folks. That's all I'm saying. Right? Don't be afraid of them. But learn the rules of engagement. We will spend a lot of time talking about minimal viable products, problem solution interviews. Everything is data driven. We'll talk about the original idea, how to go through the process, and then how to scale. Next, and speaking of scaling, our method prepares you for whatever ultimate business type you want. So we'll start out with the founders, we'll help you launch a money machine, and then this is pretty much where the first 13 weeks ends. But then if you hang around for that second 13 week cohort, we then help you decide, do you want to run a money machine at scale, or do you want to do a traditional business scale? What's traditional business scale? More employees, bigger buildings, more sites, that type thing. Or do you want to scale with money machines, which is a groovy trip? Believe it or not, this is easier. Why? Because banks understand that. Financial institutions understand that. Some of the language you start talking over here, they get cross-eyed. I'll give you an example. Every tech accelerator in this state, in the Southeast, all they talk about is companies that scale. And they're referencing traditional business scale. The economic development people, the people with the State Department of Commerce, all of the regional chambers, everybody, Innovate Alabama, and I love Ms. Crutchfield, that's my lady, she's cool people. EDPA with Alabama Launchpad, all they talk about is traditional scale. Now, the problem I have is sometimes they're derogatory on money machines. They call them lifestyle business. What business ain't about lifestyle? Right. I mean, it's about making cash so it can affect my lifestyle, right? Come on now. Every business is lifestyle. I'm just trying to understand this. So when I get what they're trying to say, this is sexy because this is what Fast Company Magazine publishes.
Yeah.
But I can beat you here on the math, especially in certain industries. So I asked regional economic development people, what do you want? You keep talking about 100 employee company. Do you want a tech company with 100 employees, or would you rather have 33 or 3? Now, I'm gonna beat you on the tax base. Because in that 100 company, 100 employee company, them folk at that lower rank, they ain't getting paid much. In that tech company that's successful, all three of them getting a check. Yeah. Right? And what's more probable happening? A company failing or 33 failing? It's just a little ignorance. And we gotta do a better job of educating our leadership here. Here's our tool. So take a deep breath, because you might fall out when I tell you. You will not be writing and creating a document that is comparable to a dissertation, better known as a business plan. We do not do business plans in this. Business plans have their place.
Yes.
It's just not the proper tool for a startup. I can hammer a nail in a wall with a chainsaw, but that's not the right tool.
Right.
This is the tool. We found no better tool on the planet than our customer discovery, development, and experience planner. It's a single page. You will get a digital form to work with. But here's the funny part about it all. Over the next few weeks, you will do more thinking than you do writing, and that's excruciatingly hard. We will be asking you some tough questions where you gotta turn off all the streaming media, all of the music, turn that phone off and sit in the dark. And if you like me, I'm a praying man, you ask the Lord, But this is the juice. Why? Next, because launching a business is nothing but an experiment. You have no idea if it's going to work. Anybody that tells you they've got it guaranteed, they're lying. And so what do you do when you're uncertain? You run an experiment. And so we launch a scientific experiment known as founding a company, launching a company. We'll go through the four-step process and documenting plan A, identifying the weakest parts of the plan. Then you're going to systematically test the plan. Why? Because it is an experiment. And then you run through this build, measure, learn model where you pivot through some stuff. Now, my brother here who was talking about lean manufacturing, this should be very familiar. Actually, this stuff started with some folk who came out of that industry. We are Proverbs 14:23 practitioners. What does that say? When it comes to business, people say, oh, blah, blah, blah. I said, nah, I'm a Proverbs 14:23 guy. It simply says, in all labor, there's value, but a whole lot of talking send you to the poorhouse. I don't do a lot of talking. We have time for talking. Business is a contact sport. You don't get this by writing a document. You understand business by going out and talking to some folk and asking them, how much would you pay for this? Would you like to be an early adopter? Mm-hmm. And they're gonna tell you one of two things, yes or no. And it helps you get over the no's, because when they tell you the no's, you understand sometimes it's simply because they're not the right fit.
That's right.
Plus, the reason I love the experimental portion of this, when we get into legal and finance, the conversation historically revolved around how to protect your personal assets, right? And then that's when we're going to induce you to something called insurance, but you still need legal. So there are five relationships we're going to talk about that you need to have as entrepreneurs. You need to have a lawyer, you need to have an accountant, you need to have a banker, you need to have a mentor, and the one everybody forgets, you need an insurance agent. People say, well, how much? I said, well, do you have any customers? No? Well, you don't need much insurance, all right? But if you start getting customers, you need some. I mean, if you're making food, people might eat your stuff and get sick. What you gonna do, right? And then the other thing about being a practitioner and really working at this is simply the fact that it's in this process where you get the reps, and it helps you become, if you allow the business process, it helps you to become much more comfortable with failing fast and failing forward. And you'll get a few calluses, and then people tell you no, you'd be smiling. You're like, okay, cool, boom, you're on to the next thing, right? Next, finally, a holistic view. You'll be running through, initially we're gonna solve one problem, so you'll run through this, but as your business grows, everything will be going through this build, measure, learn cycle. Next, and you will have a planner for everything that you're doing in terms of product. So how we say, so some people talk about, and accountants love talking about piercing the corporate veil. You know, you need your business and finances, then your personal finances. This is 2025, and the judicial system has caught up with that. And they know that LLC you have, it's you. They cool with it, okay, they do. They know this. They know it because it's not required now to build wealth, right? And so the way we protect our founders financially, you don't spend any money until you get the customer. Right? Now, you're gonna give me some work on the front end. I tell folks all the time, you're gonna work on the front end or the back end. Now, it's amazing how many people want to work on the back end. After they went out and got Class A office space and went out and bought that $5,000 Mac laptop. Went out and done all of that. And what you think, Brother Boyd? I said, how many customers you have? No. Now, people say, how can you start a business without spending money? I am not talking about you sacrificing Starbucks for 30 days. Because if you don't have any customers, a business license is pretty cheap. Business, okay, y'all see where I'm going? Mm-hmm. All right, so that $8 you spending on them made up words, a macchiato, katana, okay? Set that aside for 30 days and go get your business license. But I'm talking about talking about real money. Because if you don't get that real money, if you mess up there, let's just say if you have a spouse or a significant other or some kids, it can make life real interesting. You don't want that. Next. Yeah, forgive me. So what's the syllabus look like? I'm sorry. Close this out. So, wrong way. So what does the syllabus look like? First few weeks, we're going to get into problem, customer segment, solution, theory. We will spend a lot of time dealing with storytelling. A lot of time. Then we come back and get into the unique value proposition. Since around week 4 and 5, where we don't do the first exercises, it comes back and bites you in the rears. It's impossible to define a unique value proposition if you can't tell your story properly. Just can't do it. Plus, the unique value proposition is your real juice on getting your customers. We then transition into how you gain access to your customers and users, developing your channels. Then we spend a week or so with that MRE stuff, do a little surface cover. Then we get into my favorite part, cost structure. And that's when it gets real interesting. You all do know business, what I love about business, business will tell on you if you let it. It'll make you a better person if you let it. It will expose your fears. If you just tell the truth, I'm scared to death. I tell my spouse sometimes, I say, I have no idea, baby girl. She gives me a long leash, right? Long leash. But she reminds me, Mama want to get her nails done.
Yeah.
Next, we want to thank these dear folk again, ACE, Innovate Alabama, OneSync Technology, Mr. Eric Sloan and his team. And then the final thing here is, if you have any questions, comments, I will say that moving forward, our sessions, we will try to have them always done within a 75 minutes. Everything from this point on, from a training perspective, will be virtual. We'll do meetups, maybe every month and a half, so you guys can network. But it's just too efficient. Plus, you either work in a full-time job trying to launch a company, or you work in full-time in your full-time business, you do not have time to be running me down to meet me somewhere and spending that time driving when you could be spending time with your family because you have to do everything else with the business, right?
Yeah.
It's much more efficient. Now the classes will be live. Much more efficient. And we create media copy on the fly. So we have a session, we finish up about 4:15. By 7 that night, you'll have that session where you can go back and review it and go through it. It's just, again, we stood that stuff up during COVID, but it just has been a blessing. But we will have meetups from time to time, practicing things that we learn. All correspondences should come through StartupU at i85cyber.org. So when you receive an email from me or any of the instructors, it'll come from this email. So check your spam filters, all that. First few times, I'll hit you up both ways, just so that you can make sure it's clean. And all the stuff we're doing, I'm getting this building perspective. A little housekeeping. I personally do not believe that founders should pay for this type of training. You're putting your necks on the line. But the training is underwritten, which requires two things. One, in the 13 weeks, you're only allowed 2 absences. Only 2. I'm not upset if you have to do more. We will lovingly graduate you to the next cohort. Why? Because you get so far behind, it's hard to catch you up because we're moving fast. Secondly, you're allowed to only be 1 week in the rears with assignments. We don't call them homework because what we teach, so this stuff is not theory for me. It's not theory for her. It's not theory for him. The day this stuff stops working, there's a whole lot of folk that go hungry. See, unlike a lot of other methods where people are, they are just trainers, and I'm not knocking them. This is real for me. And so all of our instructors, you gotta be a full-time entrepreneur in something other than teaching, right? Why? Because this is real stuff. There's nothing like having to meet payroll. Your mortgage due, ain't nothing like that feeling. Y'all know what I'm saying? You're sitting there going, what am I going to do? And then folk at you, and y'all know this time of year, y'all know what's coming up?
Yes.
Christmas, folk want gifts, you're trying to take off and they ain't cutting no checks. Like, you playing this game, but then you gonna be here?
Yeah.
Get the invoice, then you get the company check. I mean, it's just maddening, right? But,
that's
the
real.
That's
real. Any, how many weeks will we go?
Man,
that's six.
Yeah. So any questions?
What time and what day are you thinking?
So we found this same time every week is a really good lull because people are impressed. This method requires a fresh brain. So we'll start about 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon to about 4:15. Gives people time, those who have gone to worship, time to get home, chime in, and you're fresh.
Yeah.
You're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. If I come on Tuesday night, y'all look it's just, we've tried it all over the spectrum. And this is just a nice window where people are fresh. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
The mentor aspect.
Uh-huh.
Is that something you want us to focus on during the process, after, right now?
We will spend a lot of time talking about how a mentorship is a two-way street and helping you understand the difference between a mentor and a control freak. Because most folks don't know how to mentor. They just know how to tell you what to do. And actually, they'll be telling you some stuff to do that they never would try themselves. Right? So we'll be walking you through the process of how to look across the landscape and find that mentor, or two or three or four. And then how to build those relationships. And most importantly, how to offer value to the mentor, where she just can't help but want to see you, because every time you show up, you get it.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful thing. We spend a lot of time discussing how everybody's important. That's one of the biggest mistakes people make in business. We try to look at the deal and say, oh, that's the person I need. As an example, you never want to talk to the big boss. She's too busy. You want to talk and get relationships with the assistant to the big boss, the one that does her itinerary, right? You know, you want to know her birthday. How many kids does she have? You like Duncan or you like Krispy Kreme? What's your best? Because you want that person because they get you in the door. I never forget, man, one of our first customers, you know, I'm trying to be all big corporate and send my invoices in and wait 30 days and all that foolishness. And I'm just sending you. And I'm there one day and I'm and the accountant, the chief accountant and her assistant, they were there working. And I said, ma'am, how do you process your invoices? Is it first in, first out? You know, She like, and I'm like, what did I say? It was funny. I said, excuse me? She says, oh, we pay folk who ask for their money first. And then she looked at me and says, do you need your money faster?
Now,
by this time, all my pride was gone.
Right.
See, she hit me 2 years earlier. I go, oh, no, I'm good. No. I was like, yes, ma'am. She says, why don't you say so? And it got to such a great relationship because I knew the birthdays, always bring in snacks. If they were running checks, they would call me and go, hey, you got any outstanding invoices? I go, yes, ma'am, get them in because we're cutting checks in an hour. Yes, ma'am. Boom. Come by and pick your check up.
Mm-hmm.
So when you got to figure out who do you really need to get in good with, right? Mm-hmm. But yes, sir, it's both. We'll be walking through the process, helping you develop those. Great question. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
So you gave us an itinerary.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to go through these 13 weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything that you've experienced in the past where we got ahead of you? Does that make sense? And created problems that we have to dig ourselves out of? Or do you recommend, no kidding, just follow the process?
So,
does that make sense?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
All right? Because what happens whenever we get to... which will be really week one. When we start trying to use the planner, I'll ask you to put the problem in the people that you think have a problem. I'll get the assignments. This whole thing is here. And it's cool. Most times it's backwards, but it's cool. I never get upset about that. I just ask, hey, can you go back in the problem area and do this? I don't even deal with what I didn't ask for. I just help the cohort member understand what they didn't do on what I assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? And then when they see how much work that is, they're like, shucks, I should have done all this. I should have been focusing here. The other thing, though, to your point, that is pretty neat, is with this method, it is very participatory. You gotta get in the trenches and do the work, right? And what will happen sometimes is people will get to maybe about week five, week six, and they're not going out and getting engagement data. And you're like, you ain't talking about it, are you? And nobody knows because I'm having one-on-one, because I don't, although I will distribute the content, we one-on-one, because I think each of you, there's confidentiality in what you share with me, right? And so I'll go, you ain't talking about it, right? No, I know, I can see, I can look at the data, you know? And so that's the, and then the final thing, so you asked about getting ahead, you asked about
staying on track with you.
Staying on track.
So that if we do get ahead, how mm-hmm. do we get ourselves out of
it? Ah, right. So how many of you have an operating business right now?
You saw the lack of confidence.
No, listen. So I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going to work your rear ends off more than the other people. Because you got a business that's bringing in money. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. But you may not know why it's working. So you got to figure out why it's working and still keep doing it. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit up here and tell you don't stop getting that cheese. No. You keep doing what you got to do. No. So what you end up having to do, you end up having to do double work.
Yeah.
While the airplane's flying, you got to figure out why these things work. And that's okay. It's just I'm letting you know on the front end. Because you'll be like, that ain't the way I'm doing it. Because what happens, the reason it's really, you're in a precarious spot, because if things go left, you don't know why. Mm-hmm. You can't see, you can't make a projection, prediction. Why would it go left? Because why is it working, right? I got to figure out why it's working to know, okay, don't do that. Do this. So yes, and yes. But it's all good. It's all good stuff. Any other questions? Going once, going twice, going three times. All righty, that's a wrap.